Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Good morning and welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. I'm Al Levine and I'm joined by Katie Gopfrich, Senior Manager, Community of Development on Long Island American Cancer Society. Wow, I think I slurred that all together really fast. Let me try that again. You're the Senior Manager Community Development on Long Island for the American Cancer Society.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Got it. And that sounds like a very responsible position. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And of course, breast cancer is a big topic all over Long Island. There's so much talk about it, of course, and the research. So we will start with what's the latest going on with research and updates and discoveries. Where are we?
So we're doing great work at the American Cancer Society. So we are over 100 years old, and you would think, haven't we found the cure yet? And we are getting there. So not every cancer diagnosis, not every breast cancer diagnosis is the same. However, we are funding the largest portfolio of cancer researchers with the largest investment besides the U.S. government. So when you're looking at the potential that are coming from all of these researchers and what we have funded in the past, we are seeing so much progress. In fact, 35% of cancer death rates caused by breast cancer are down since 1989.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That's great.
So we are doing some great things targeting what each person's diagnosis is, from, you know, body weight to just blood type, what kind of cancer, how your body reacts to different things. Mm-hmm. So immunotherapy is a very fancy word that we're hearing a lot of, but it really is the future of, you know, targeting a cancer diagnosis and making your journey customized to your body, hopefully making it a journey that will lead into
the cure.
The cure, hope.
Immunotherapy. Break that down into some layman terms as far as what that involves, if you can. Like, what is that?
So I am not a doctor, but I can tell you what I understand immunotherapy as. And that is looking at the makeup of what a tumor is. What are those cells made up of? How does your body react to those cells? So we'd have different kinds of proteins, and, you know, every cancer is slightly different, has slightly different mutations. So taking a sample of what that tumor is like, where it's located, and then creating a cocktail of sorts when it comes to targeted radiation or chemotherapy or other drug-related methods to make sure that we are fighting it in a more customized and intimate way rather than a broad stream. What, you know, if I get the same chemotherapy as the, you know, a different person, you know, it might work for this person so much better than me, vice versa.
I see. Okay. And so what's going on with the awareness? I guess that's coming up, of course, all the time with all these discoveries and all the talk. How is that helping to find the cure as well?
Yeah, so awareness is really what we're here to talk about.
All about,
so right. Yes, the American Cancer Society, you know, we attack cancer at all angles, but we really depend on our volunteers. And whoever's listening out there, you're now a volunteer and a soldier for the American Cancer Society, because a lot of times, you know, you might see the American Cancer Society logo or Making Strides Against Breast Cancer or Relay for Life logo, but you don't understand or know what the American Cancer Society can do for you. So I'm here to really talk about how the American Cancer Society is making an impact, making a difference in your life, in your community members' lives, and members around the world's lives, just by being here. So we're approaching Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is in October. And we are so excited because we're going to have over 90,000 walkers come and join us at our Eastern Long Island Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk on October 22nd, but our largest walk in the country, Jones Beach State Park, on October 15th, where people are building awareness just by walking, donating, talking about why breast cancer is important to them. But if you can't be there, and I hope you can, just taking what you hear today and, you know, telling people that the American Cancer Society is there for you and that we can make a difference.
Wow. 90,000.
Yes.
You sure you got that number right?
I do. Yes.
Wow. That's fantastic.
We grow and grow every year. And, you know, that's a great thing to see how much hope is out there. But it's also kind of a sad thing because we're seeing how many people are being affected by this.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. So people are hearing this. They're not involved with it. What's a good way to get started?
Well, the good thing, a great way to get started is contact the American Cancer Society. We have a generic phone number called 1-800-227-2345, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and decide how you want to be a part of us. So you can come and walk with us at one of our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer walks at Jones Beach State Park or Suffolk County Community College Eastern Campus in October. Or you can volunteer. You can become a Rotary recovery driver, or if you are a licensed cosmetologist, help us with our Look Good, Feel Better programs and wig fittings. You can come and join us at our office. We have lots of work and a large need for volunteers. And also fundraise. Ask your family, friends to join you in your fight against breast cancer and other cancers, and ask them for a $5 donation, $10 donation, whatever it may be. We never know what the next penny is going to cure. It's going to find out what it's going to fund.
Of course. What else can the audience do to join the festivities this October if that's not something that's an option for them?
Oh, so you can basically, if you'd like to make a team, come down and walk with us. So if you go to www.makingstrideswalk.org/Long Island or /Eastern Long Island, or you can type in your zip code and find the walk closest to you, and you can start a team. It's very easy to get involved, send emails out, let them know you're doing it. But if you can't make that event, you can do a virtual walk in your area and just say, we're going to be doing this Making Strides Against Breast Cancer walk. We can't get to Jones Beach. We can't get to Eastern Long Island, but we are going to walk together in our local park or in our around our block. But we really want people to walk with us, fundraise with us, and, you know, make an impact, spread the word.
Gotcha. We're talking to Katie today. She's the Senior Manager of Community Development on Long Island for the American Cancer Society. And you've probably been involved in a few of these walks, right?
Yes. I've been working with the American Cancer Society as staff for 7 years. I actually started with our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer portfolio in Buffalo, New York, and moved my way to Long Island.
Wow.
about five or seven years ago. Okay. Yeah, I was a volunteer part-time worker in Buffalo. But I really started because cancer is something so important to me and my family. I've lost way too many people to this disease. And, you know, I started out as a Relay for Life volunteer. I started and quickly learned about the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer movement and fell in love with volunteers and watched people as they were diagnosed and fought their hardest and, you know, sometimes succumbed to that disease. And I just wanted to continue to make a difference. So if you can say, I'm a lifer, I love the American Cancer Society.
Yeah, yeah. And you were going to bring a survivor with you today. I guess the timing was a little off on that. Share with us some stories about some of those people. All right. Yeah. Is there one in particular you think of when I mentioned that?
You know, I have so many stories. As you can imagine, I talk to many survivors every day. But I'm going to talk about two. I have the caregiver, which sometimes we don't remember a lot of, is that person who stands by our survivors. And to clarify, the definition of a survivor in the American Cancer Society's eyes is somebody who has been diagnosed with cancer. It doesn't mean that you're in remission. It means that you have heard the words, you have cancer. In our eyes, that means you are a survivor. And when you get that diagnosis, you know, a lot of times all you hear is cancer, and then you succumb to what that is. You get quiet, your mind starts working, and then you have that person next to you who is absorbing all the same information as you and driving you to your appointments and helping you get through the day-to-day, but also having that a very different kind of journey as well. So we have some great caregivers, and we actually have a great program called Real Men Wear Pink that started on Long Island last year, where we have identified men in our community who are passionate men who want to find a cure for breast cancer. They have stood by women in their lives who have gotten this disease, and they have seen them in that journey, and they want to be that forefront of the fight. So actually a man named Bob Dow. He is a wonderful man, and he actually won the Northern Trust PGA Tour Challenge this past month. The PGA Tour came in. Mm-hmm. He got the most votes and has now being given a $5,000 donation for the charity of his choice.
Nice.
And he is giving that to the American Cancer Society because his family has been affected by this disease. He has not only his wife, but in-laws and sisters. And it's just so touching to see how he is devoting his life and his extra time to, you know, really fight in their honor, which is admirable to me.
Where'd you find this guy? Like, would he just, was
he? You know, a lot of, you would think that we find them, but they find us.
They find you.
Yes. So we are very proud that the American Cancer Society is so reputable. And when you go to the hospital and you're going through your treatments, there might be a patient navigator sitting in the waiting room and really talking to you and ask, one of the questions that you're asked is, would you like the American Cancer Society to reach out to you? And when you say yes to that question, within 48 hours, you will get a phone call from the American Cancer Society, and they will say, how can we help you? Do you need more information about your disease? Do you need to know what the follow-up questions you should be asking are? Do you have insurance questions? I think insurance is such a crazy topic, and there's, you know, a lot of reasons why you can get confused in a very terrifying time navigating through that process. Clinical trials. Finding out where you can get the next clinical trial. You can't get to treatment. How can we connect you to a volunteer to drive you to treatment and drive you home every day? And then also we have a great facility called Hope Lodge. Hope Lodge, we actually have one right in Manhattan, right across from Penn Station. And you can stay at a home away from home, free of charge, and actually get your cancer treatments there. We have 32 across the United States.
Wow. So that kind of answers part of the question of where do the funds raised go to? There's so many different facets and so many different people helping in these capacities. But I'll ask the question anyway. Raising funds go to areas that you need help in, obviously. Where are some that you need the most help in now?
Well, everything is help. We're saying we're fighting cancer from every direction. What makes the American Cancer Society unique is that we are looking at the entire cancer journey. But by 2020, we are making a pledge that the American Cancer Society wants to double our research dollars. So we are already the number one funder of cancer research besides the U.S. government. But we know that there's so much potential out there, and we need to find it. We need to unlock these, you know, almost discovered treatments. And really, we're devoting ourselves to make sure that that can happen. Building awareness. We're seeing that people are finding their cancers early, and by finding your cancers early, you are significantly increasing your chances of thriving.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing your body, going to your doctor, having those conversations. So I'd say everything's important, but research, you know, I want to see a day where we don't have to worry about cancer anymore, and that you hear the words, you have cancer, and it's very similar to saying that you have a chronic disease and there's a treatment plan for you, but you can live as a functioning human and be able to be comfortable and, you know, live with cancer rather than die from cancer.
You had mentioned we're on the edge of discovery on things. Are there a lot of things like that when it comes to cancer?
Well, there's cancer.org has a great area for our research and highlights the research that is being funded that by the American Cancer Society and has a lot of the written up articles about what's going on. But, you know, with everything, the American Cancer Society can't fund every researcher.
Sure.
So there are researchers that, you know, we would love to fund if we had the funds to do it. So if we can't fund them, they might be able to get grants and other things from other places. But we want to be there and we want to be part of that. So finding those research dollars, finding those dollars that are going to go towards that is so important.
Sounds great. All right, let's talk again about the events coming up that people can participate in, should be aware of. What's going on in the near future?
So in the near future, and I hope everyone who's listening comes, is our largest Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk on October 15th at Jones Beach State Park. It is an event to raise awareness, celebrate survivorship, remember the people we've lost, but also just bringing your pink out and having a great family day. That is from 7 a.m. until 11. It's a rolling start, so you can get there at any time. Lots of fun and activities. In fact, WBAB and BLI are funding our pink party area, and you can actually go off and play in our pink party area and have fun with all the activities that are going on there.
So that's one of the events, the October 15th. What's the other one?
The other event is October 22nd at Suffolk County Community College Eastern Campus. That is another Making Strides Against Breast Cancer walk. That walk has about 5,000 to 6,000 people who attend it. It is geared to bring our East End community together. So everyone is welcome to that one as well. 8 a.m. is registration, and we will be kicking off the event at 8:30.
Obviously, the Jones Beach one is so much bigger, and it's the one that I guess everybody hooks into, but maybe this one could use a little bit more support.
Both. It's wherever you want to go.
Wherever you want to go doesn't matter. Okay. So it doesn't matter whether they go to one or the other, just come.
Just come. Whatever day is this. And if you can't go to either, consider having a virtual walk with your friends and family.
There you go. Okay. Great. Katie, tell me about the WIG program.
Yeah, so I have the pleasure, my office is actually right next to our WIG bank and WIG room of the American Cancer Society in Hophog. And what happens is if you contact the American Cancer Society and say, I need a WIG, you know that you're going to be losing your hair, or you have already lost your hair because of your treatment, you can actually get a WIG free of charge from the American Cancer Society.
Wow.
No questions asked. So basically make an appointment. We find the closest location. We have other locations besides just in Hophog. We have some in Manhattan. We have some with our hospital partners where you can go to. But we have licensed cosmetologists who are sitting in that room who you have a choice between a acrylic, like on a synthetic wig, or a real hair wig. If you donate your hair, I've donated my hair quite a few times throughout my life. But you can actually donate your hair through Pantene Pro-V Beautiful Lengths. And the American Cancer Society actually gets that hair back in a wig form, which is what we see these women come in. It's the most one of the most fulfilling parts of my job, because I get to see an instantaneous reaction to the hard work that we're doing and those dollars that we're raising. People come in, they're scared. They have their family member with them. Sometimes they come alone, and typically, it's very early within their diagnosis, and they go in with this volunteer who, I can't speak enough about our volunteers. They define who the American Cancer Society is as an entity and really drives our work forward, but they make these survivors feel so comfortable and just make them feel like they are not alone, mm-hmm. and make them feel beautiful again.
Right.
So Some ladies come in and they want to have their hair beautifully, you know, exactly how they have it. They want the same haircut. They want to go for the same color. And then we have some who like to be a little bit more adventurous and, you know, go for the ombre look or a different hair color altogether. And short, long, they have that opportunity to really have fun and play along. And when they walk out of that wig room and they see me, or they see another staff person or volunteer who's in the hallway, they instantly smile and they say, look at me. Look, do you love my hair? And you cannot tell that they're wearing a wig, and they just are so happy. And it's nice to see that hope and that sense of calm all together. So I love our wig program.
It's amazing. That's a great story. All right, tell me about some of your survivors. I know you have a lot of memories and experiences, and tell me about one that comes to mind right now.
So I have a very good friend. I would call her a friend now because she has she's one of the first survivors I met at the American Cancer Society, and her name is Stacey Brennan. She's actually been on the show a few times before talking about her efforts with the American Cancer Society. But Stacey is a breast cancer survivor, and she is living with cancer. She is somebody that gives me hope every single day. Her her diagnosis is, you know, ongoing. She will, you know, she has her up days, she has her down days, but her ultimate healing is having family and friends behind her, but also making strides against breast cancer. So she brings a team of about 150 people, I would say, every year. The cheerleading team that she coaches, her son's friends. She had, her husband was a fireman at one point, bringing everybody together, and they walk in force. And she told me that her favorite part of making strides was high-fiving the different walkers as they go down the boardwalk at Jones Beach. And she lives for it. She actually fundraises close to $15,000 to $20,000 every year by hosting galas and bowling events. And she just is so dedicated to this. And she is one of the beneficiaries of the dollars that she is fundraising for. And she's just an inspiration to me.
That's amazing. The spirit of people can be amazing when tested. And you must see it all the time.
That's the best part. It's such a great part of my job. You know, of course, there's some times that you have sadness because you, you know, lose somebody who you've been seeing fight for so long. But then you have this hope of seeing somebody who, like Stacy, who's so hopeful and so inspirational and just drives her passion and her, you know, purpose of fundraising so that she has life. And it's so important. And she will be the first person to tell me, it's not about me, Katie. It's about everybody else. And, you know, it's not just women, which I think is a common misconception when it comes to breast cancer. We are seeing male breast cancer rates rise. More and more men are coming out and saying that they are cancer survivors and with that breast cancer survivors.
So on a bad day, you know, think about that. Think about other people that that carry that torch and, you know, have a lot of worse things to worry about. And yet the human spirit can be amazing when tested. And That's miraculous. Let's talk about screenings, breast cancer screenings and mammograms. I know a lot of people are not as aware of what's involved and how important that is to do and how often to do it. What's the deal with that?
So with October coming, if you have a person in your family who has a family history of breast cancer, tell them to talk to their doctor. I can't say it enough. We need to catch this as early as possible.
Right.
So the American Cancer Society wants you to, you know, be aware of what your family history is. So if you have a predisposition of breast cancer, talk to your doctor, figure out what is the best treatment plan for you. But all in all, if you are 45 years old, you need to go out and get your mammogram. If you have somebody in your life who is 45 years old, tell them to go and get their prescription to get their mammograms. I know there's a million places. I know that life happens and things are inconvenient sometimes. But by going out and doing that, you could save your life.
Right.
And you can ultimately find out if your family has a history of breast cancer and, you know, give that information on to the next generation. I think it's just so important to put life on hold, you know, and put yourself first sometimes.
Yeah.
But putting my American Cancer Society hat on, the whole organization, if you're over the age of 50, everybody should be going and getting their colonoscopy or colon cancer screening, because we do know that colon cancer is something that is, you know, preventable, treatable, and can be detected very early. So screenings all together are so important. So mammograms, colonoscopies, just go and get those prescriptions and do the deed.
Yeah, right. And the frequency, I guess, of these depends on the history.
Yes.
And, you know, the person. So talk to your doctor about that. Get the biz and figure it out.
Exactly.
All right, cool. Well, good luck on these events, Katie. They sound amazing, as always. You guys have done terrific work, and I wish you continued success. And of course, all the research here, you know, we keep getting closer and closer someday.
Yes.
Someday, maybe. You know, with all this spirit, we're going to have to make a victory here.
We will. We will. And I hope I see everybody at our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer walks. And just to remind everyone to find out how to get involved, you can go to www.makingstrideswalk.org/Long Island or /Eastern Long Island and sign up a team today.
And the two big walks coming up on the 15th of October and the 22nd.
Yes.
Okay. There you go. We've been talking with Katie Gupfrich, Senior Manager, Community of Development on Long Island for the American Cancer Society. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
And hopefully we helped out a little bit more, just a little bit more.
Yeah, so take what you learned today and tell people to call the American Cancer Society.
And you've been listening to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help.
Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.